The Gary Knoll Show, weekdays at noon, Eastern Daylight Time, on the Progressive Radio Network.
It's the Gary Knoll Show, and now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Today, the latest on the fight over raw dairy, how the CDC came to admit a death wasn't categorized correctly by Jared Carter of CompetentPatient.com. We're going to go into that in some depth. More on the environment today, because there's so many things that are happening that we should pay attention to, including what I would call the environmental canaries in the coal mine. 30,000 islands in the largest segment of the ocean, the Pacific, and they're going underwater. We're not even aware about it. We should be. I'll tell you why. My guest in the second part of our program will be Katrina Hovell. She is the editor and publisher of The Nation magazine and a columnist for The Washington Post, focusing on American and international politics. A summa cum laude graduate of Princeton University, she's written extensively on civil liberties. Our discussion today, the urgent challenges and means for progressives to break free of the status quo of our sclerose political system and legislature that supports corporations over people. That we will deal with in some depth. Let's begin. Many of you have probably seen the videos, several different ones, that have gone viral on YouTube, especially the raiding of an organic food co-op in California. You can see from the security cameras that the police came in, arms drawn, full combat gear, and they were confronted by some sandaled hippie people selling bean sprouts and vegetables. And they were there to confiscate some raw dairy. Another one was the confiscation of a man's raw dairy in Virginia. And then another one just last week in Nevada, closing down a picnic because of some of the standards they said weren't being met, when actually they were. So this is a systematic campaign by the FDA and the USDA to stop people from being able to get these products. Now, in this age of the Internet, it's amazing how quickly certain statistics can catch on. Take the statistic that came up on February 11th on a post of Jared Carter. After assessing the data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, that there had been an average of 39 illnesses, not deaths, illnesses from raw milk cheese in an 8-year period. It's the first time I'm aware of that anyone has presented that data. Within days, NPR had a story about the controversy over raw milk cheese and included the statement, quote, on average about 40 people report getting sick from raw milk cheese a year nationwide. According to the CDC, the idea was to suggest that raw milk cheese doesn't seem to present a huge public health problem. There's another related number that has been around much longer, and it's this. Between 1998 and 2008, 10 years, there have been 2 deaths from raw milk. This number comes up repeatedly in media reporting about raw milk, courtesy of the CDC, even though I have reported that those illnesses appear to have been coming from queso fresco cheese, a soft, fresh cheese that is not legal under FDA regulations, requiring a minimum 60-day aging period. The CDC hasn't responded till now. It all came about as a result of an inquiry made by Mark McGaffey, an owner of Organic Pastures Dairy, in December, when he challenged claims on the Center for Disease Control website stating that raw milk is dangerous. The agency actually agreed to make some slight changes to its language on the site. But when he inquired about statistics concerning raw milk illnesses in California, an official of the agency Division of Foodborne, Waterborne, and Parasitic Disease, Janelle Roth, stated in part, quote, from 1998-2008, more outbreaks associated with unpasteurized dairy in California than any other state. There was one death reported in that time from Salmonella, unquote. McAfee expressed surprise about the death. The state wasn't reporting it, he said. His request to Dr. Routh for more information went unanswered. Finally, he threatened to file a Freedom of Information Act request. An answer came back last week from an unnamed official at the CDC's information office. Quote, the death mentioned in an earlier email was from an unpasteurized dairy product, Queso Fresco, made from raw milk, unquote. Why is this important? Because statistics have become important weapons in the war over food rights. When the CDC says there has been two deaths from raw milk in a 10-year period, that statistic carries a powerful message. You can die from drinking raw milk. Now all the CDC has to do is admit the second death was from the same cause. Turns out that the two people it says died from drinking raw milk did not die from drinking raw milk. In fact, there were no deaths, zero deaths from drinking raw milk. Then the CDC has lost an important weapon in the government's campaign of fear around raw milk. If no one died in that 11-year period, suddenly raw milk isn't quite the danger it has been made to appear. And so now the CDC has been caught lying. But they lied, and then the media pressed on and used only the CDC's information. Oh, well, the police are raiding these because of deaths. No, there were no deaths. The CDC's raiding raw milk because of a political agenda. And separately, the CDC continues to list 36,000 people that the media uses who die of flu each year. Read the CDC's own statistics. Anywhere from a low of 300 people to as high as 3,000 people, with an average around 1,400, die from the flu each year. The rest die of pneumonia. Pneumonia is not the flu. Then why include pneumonia in on flu deaths? Because if you just show the real actual number of people who die of the flu, of influenza, it would be tiny. It would have no statistical relevance. There'd be no reason to get a vaccine. None. But combine the two together, and now you go from 300 deaths to 36,000 deaths. Well, then people think, oh, I don't want to be one of those 36,000. It's all about the numbers. Separately, xanthine improves vision in the elderly. A new study shows that age-related macular degeneration, the number one cause of blindness, in this group of elderly veterans, over a one-year period, just 8 milligrams of xanthine per day was able to show a substantial improvement in eye care and disappearance of blind spots. So my suggestion is take this super antioxidant every day. This is from Dr. Joseph Mercola, the antioxidant superstar. People in China eat it every day, and I'll quote this. Steve Farrar has a master's degree in horticulture from Washington State University and has worked studying mushrooms for 30 years. He goes on to talk about what he found about these mushrooms. Quote, mushrooms are defined as a fungus that forms a fleshy, above-ground reproduction structure called the mushroom fruit body. Mushrooms should not be confused with mold or fungi, however, which do not form fleshy fruit bodies. To learn more about this, just learn how mushrooms actually grow and propagate. Now, I happen to grow mushrooms, and I have in the past, not right now, because I'm traveling. But it's very easy to grow mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms, white cap mushrooms. And the common button mushroom, that's that little white one that you buy, while not as interesting as the more exotic cousins, it's an excellent low-calorie food. It's great for diabetics. And if you cut it in half, it makes a nice filling element within salads. It's got protein, enzymes, B vitamins, and vitamin D2. And this is according to Farr, by virtue of them being primarily decomposers, they have some unique nutritional and health benefits to them. And then maitake, shiitake, in particular, and oyster mushrooms, brown beach mushrooms, people should be using these. And then it goes on to talk about how it can help your immune system. and that makes them a superfood. I agree. I believe that mushrooms should be each day some mushrooms into our diet. It helps our immune system, and it can make all the difference in the world in reestablishing an advantage to you going into a rough season. A mushroom soup is always good, especially if you take some miso, organic miso. Barley miso is the best, in my opinion. And then you stir like a tablespoon of barley miso into a bowl of soup, dice up some onions, put a half a cup of mushrooms diced in there, let it steep for about 15 minutes and eat it. Everything in there is anti-cancer and immune building. So mushrooms are a superstar. We just don't eat them very often, and we should on a regular basis. Next up here, estrogen from birth control pills in our water supply is linked to a rising prostate cancer. I'll quote this. Researchers suggest there may be a link between estrogen from oral birth control pills that have found their way into the environment and rising rates of prostate cancer among men around the world. In a study published online in the British Medical Journal, researchers at Princess Margaret Hospital in Toronto looked at the percentage of women using the pill and then the water quality, and then related that to the prostate cancer, and they came up with this. Now, here's my thoughts on this. First, everyone today should be using a water filter. I would never drink water out of a tap. I do not trust or believe any of the water municipalities. Now, this is an area I've spent a lot of time in research. I've written many articles. In fact, my newest article, just up yesterday, is called The Fluoride Fiasco. And it's considered the most single, definitive, scientifically based, lay-written article ever on fluoride. And I might mention that we have gotten feedback from all over the world, people using the article to go in and challenge legally the water fluoridation within communities and then presenting the scientific paper to get the fluoride out of the water, especially when people know the truth. But that's but one added element. What we now see is that you have parasites. And it's interesting, if people don't see a parasite, they don't seem to fear it. Like you don't see the parasite in raw salmon in a sushi bar. But I'll bet if I could take 10% of all salmon under a microscope, I could show you the different parasites. And those are going into your system. Somewhere, I'm not sure where it's at this moment, but there is a video on YouTube, one of the wilderness videos, that shows an Australian crocodile hunter going in and capturing a medium-sized crocodile, about 10 foot, and they open up its jaws, and then he puts a camera on his forehead and goes down into the crocodile's stomach. What he sees, first thing he sees, and you see a lot of them, parasites. The crocodiles, some of these parasites, they're in the thousands and thousands, and they're 3 or 4 or 5 inches long, and you think, whoa, you know, well, what do you expect? The parasite is able to live a long time, but the crocodile lives a long time because the crocodile produces special antibiotics in their blood that can kill off the bacteria that allows them to survive even in the worst breakage and dirty water. You don't have that benefit. You can't survive like a dog that would tear up the ground, take out a completely bacteria-ridden bone and chew on it, or lick something off the ground and not die. You have none of that protection. So that's why hygiene is so important. So imagine now, we now know from the technology, it's allowed us to see that nanoparticles of medicines, chemotherapy, and drug, cancer, antidepressant medications, they're all in our water supply. And then you drink the water, comes into your body. What then becomes the impact of nanoparticulate matter? We don't know, but it cannot be good. So I'm very concerned about this, and that's why I suggest get a water filter and make sure that you use it all the time. And finally, garlic oil can treat heart problems. This is from Emory University, and I'll quote this. It says, a component of garlic oil, that's the oil that you get every time you chew some garlic or juice it, It can help release proactive compounds to the heart after heart attack, during cardiac surgery, or as a treatment for heart failure. And it says, at low concentrations, hydrogen sulfide gas has been found to protect the heart from damage. And now researchers at Emory University School of Medicine have turned to a trisulfide, a garlic oil component, as a way to deliver the benefits of hydrogen sulfide to the heart. Their findings suggest that doctors could use the dial trisulfide in many ways that can help instead of using hydrogen sulfide. And it's being presented at the American Heart Association today. So garlic every day and get the oil. That will help you. And one last thing, to help stop the spread of lung cancer, this is from a Dr. Taggi, University of Colorado Skaggs School of Pharmacy, milk thistle. A team found that silbenium and silibenin stop the spread of lung cancers in mouse, and so that's important. So in this new animal study, silibenin helped remove, which is milk thistle, helped remove the molecular bioboards that signals that these would spread. So you can help a person with lung cancer prevent the cancer from spreading, metastasizing, by using milk thistle. I'm Gary Noll, back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Ding dong, ding dong, do you hear the bells go ding dong? Do you know why they're ringing? Do you know why the birds are singing? Well, you're gonna get a big surprise, 'cause I'm gonna put you wise. The bells are ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing. Every Susie and Sal, they're congregating.
I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Noll. In about 20 minutes now, we'll be joined with my guest, Katrina Hovell, talking about the urgent challenges and means for progressives to break the status quo of our sclerosed political system and legislature that supports corporations over people. We also have an issue of the day. Now, here is the issue of the day, and then you can call in on this. As you're all probably familiar by now, virtually every single one of the Occupy groups have been dispersed from their encampments and gathering places. There's no way that could have happened unless it was handled behind the scenes by federal agencies. Here's the latest to prove that. Quote, Occupy crackdowns coordinated with federal law enforcement officials. Justice Department Homeland Security advised raids on Occupy Wall Street camps. Oakland Mayor Gene Kwan admits sites coordinated crackdown on Occupy movement. How did this all happen? Because of something called the U.S. Patriot Act. Now, I was opposed to the Patriot Act when it was signed. I was opposed to it when it was re-signed. And also Homeland Security. I have been saying for some time, and wherever possible showing it, that America has become a police state. It's confusing because you can still go out and say things, do things, write things, read things, and share things that you could not in some of the former Soviet countries, China, and some other places, including in Egypt and Syria and Bahrain, as examples. That does not mean that we do not have a police state. That does not mean we do not have an oligarchy. It doesn't mean that we don't have a plutocracy. We have all the above, and it's evolving. And because it has not yet come to a complete state of confrontation, but it's evolving towards that. So now, I believe that we should have a national campaign to revoke completely Homeland Security and the Patriot Act and completely challenge our war on terrorism. I believe it's nothing more than a gigantic fraud. Not that there are not terrorists, there are, and not that we shouldn't be proactive in some constructive ways of dealing with it. We can and should, none of which is being done correctly. It's just become an enormous profit center for corporate America, the special interest groups, the lobbyists, and those who used to work in the Pentagon and military-industrial spy complex. But this is what happens. This is how it actually impacts you, when you should have a right to demonstrate peacefully in a public space, a common space, and yet not allowed to do that. Also, I posted up on my website today a scene out of Washington, D.C., where a paraplegic in a wheelchair is confronted by two fully armed, large Washington, D.C. police. The man is physically thrown to the ground, bashed, blood coming out of his head. He's immediately handcuffed, and he's a paraplegic. What have we become? That's fascism. Will they be reprimanded? Not at all. Will any of the police anywhere be reprimanded for shooting people, beating people? No. Rare example you could find, but for every one that you find, they'll risk get a pass. How anyone could justify that, but that should become the poster for why we should challenge authority at every time and every opportunity we can. If we don't, then if they can take a complete paraplegic, smashing to the ground and causing to bleed, and then handcuff a person, what do they fear? Is that how we deal with something? Now, President Obama is fully aware of all this. That means he supports it, and nothing in Homeland Security and nothing involving the Patriot Act and Homeland Security would able to be done without the morning sessions where he gets his approval. So for you Democrats who still believe, and those of the Clinton and Obama Democrats and liberals who still believe that this is your man, he's the answer. Just put his face on that poster, because he is behind all of this. I'm Gary Knoll. Those are my thoughts. I'd like to hear yours now. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And real quick, we're going to go to a couple environmental issues. Greenhouse gases rising by record amounts. This is from The Guardian. I'll quote this. Levels of greenhouse gases are higher than the worst-case scenario outlined by climate experts just 4 years ago. The global output of heat-trapping carbon dioxide has jumped by a record amount, according to the U.S. Department of Energy, a sign how feeble the world's efforts are at slowing man-made global warming. In lay language, it simply means that it's at the tipping point. And the United States, our president, Congress, both sides, have refused to do anything meaningful about it. Now you get the idea. It's not the place to be. Democrats and Republicans are both equally guilty of what has become our country's degradation in our civil rights and human rights, constitutional rights and environmental rights, completely decimated. Oh, here's one more. Jill Richardson, why is the State Department using our money to pimp for Monsanto? Quote, people in India are up in arms over eggplant, not just any eggplant. The fight, which is also raging in the Philippines, is over Monsanto's BT eggplant, even as increasing scientific evidence concludes that biotechnology and its arsenal of genetically modified crops may be doing more harm than good. Companies like Monsanto are still pushing them hard, and they're getting help from the U.S. government. The State Department using taxpayer money to help push the agenda for Monsanto and its friends all across the world, and then it gives example after example of how everyone inside the State Department, starting, of course, with Hillary Clinton on down, all of them are in the pocket of Monsanto and DuPont, and they're pushing for agendas. And if they don't get the agendas, according to leaked documents and cables, then they'll be punishing countries that don't embrace genetic engineering. Gee whiz. So that's why some companies are actually engaging in genetic engineering when there's no science of its safety, there's no science of its benefit. Then why would they do it and displace organic, sustainable agriculture? Because of pressure and threats from Hillary Clinton's gang at the State Department. Those are some of the latest on health and nutrition and updates. Now, back in a moment. Please stay with us.
you know where to go to? Why don't you go where Harlem's hits? Booking on the Ritz. Tangled gowns upon the bevy of high browns, and down the levee all his kids. Booking on the Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Thursday.
I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Knoll. Now, before we go to our guest, we're going to give you a special. And we have a special here. In fact, we have two specials. All right? And this is for our fundraising here. And the first one is something brand new. We have never offered it before because it's just now out. It is called Cruciferous Stuff. It's vegan. It is rich in chocolate with real coca. It has raw, all-natural vegetables. Now, there's a product out there. I just pulled a full-page ad of it from a nice magazine. It's a good product. It's a cruciferous product. And they're giving you a good product. Cabbage, 25 milligrams. Okay, that's good. Watercress, 50 milligrams. Hey, that's good. Broccoli, the number one ingredient, because broccoli is the super, superstar of all cruciferous vegetables, 400 milligrams. Wow. And not bad. Let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 items. Okay. All right. Well, good product. And then we have my brand new product. Let me just see here. Broccoli, 750 milligrams, about twice as much as the other one. Oh, and when it comes to the other important ones, like watercress, they have 50 milligrams. I have 500 milligrams. Did I also mention I have collard greens, 500 milligrams, Brussels sprouts, 500 milligrams, watercress, 500 milligrams, kale, 500 milligrams, mustard seed, whoa, 500 milligrams, apple pectin, 500 milligrams, then turnip, arugula, turmeric, horseradish, radish sprout, daikon radish, ginger root. Yeah, that makes up 15, not 3, of the most powerful, all-inclusive, cruciferous vegetables there is. Now, it took me a year to figure out. Every time I tasted it, it was too bitter. So I said, what can we do? And we tried different things, didn't work. And finally, came up with the idea, why don't we use raw coca, chocolate, in and of itself a superstar, so that we put 5,000 milligrams, that's 5 grams, of coca in here in each serving. So now you're getting all these wonderful cruciferous vegetables all together at the highest possible potencies, delicious, nutritious, beyond belief. This is the new superstar nutrient powder. Chocolate, you get a month's supply, and you just take one scoop that's already in there per day. My only qualification is that because there's so much coca in here, so much, you're going to get a little caffeine, about 20 milligrams. For those of you who absolutely can have no caffeine, don't use the product. For those of you who can tolerate that, that's about 1/4 cup of coffee and caffeine, but it's natural from the actual chocolate. The only way I can make less of it is I put less chocolate in. But thus far, I've had no problems with it. I think it's just one of the most powerful, single, important things you can put in your body because it's giving you what the science shows you. Now, I won't make any claims, but you don't have to wait for that. You can Google broccoli, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, watercress, kale, mustard seed, apple pectin, turnip powder, arugula, turmeric, horseradish, radish sprouts, daikon radish sprouts, and ginger root for yourself, and you'll see why this is unique and this has to be taken by itself. Give a call now because you're going to get a special introductory offer. Here is the number to call, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065. It is delicious. It is just power-packed with cruciferous nutrients, and boy, do we need cruciferous nutrients in our body. Brand new, first time I mentioned today. We only have 400 cans, so that's it. Now let's go over and say hello to Dr. Howard Robbins and to Lou Ann Panessi, who are both on the line because they're here, because they're both in a brand new feature documentary I've just completed. It's just out today, called Ozone, the Medical Miracle. Nice to have you with us today, Lou Ann and Howard.
Hi, Gary.
Good to be here, Gav.
Now, what I've done is this. I've produced over somewhere in the neighborhood of about 85 different documentaries. And I'm looking always for the therapies that are proven most beneficial, non-toxic, can make a difference, whether it's intravenous vitamin drips and homeopathy, Ayurvedic, anything that works, that can be proven to work, that's what I use. Well, we start with ozone. There have been no programs on ozone, none, and yet it's such an important therapy, and it's either direct therapy or adjunct therapy. And there are over 6,000 documents, articles in the peer-reviewed literature of why it's so important. I thought that more people in America would know about it, and it should be used everywhere. I believe it would cause a lot of deaths to stop, in hospitals in particular, if we used it. In any case, I went ahead, and over a period of time, I produced this documentary. And at the heart of this are all these patients who primarily used ozone. And let's just listen to some of these patients right now.
Well, the symptoms that I was experiencing before I was diagnosed officially with multiple sclerosis was dizziness, extreme muscle weakness, vertigo. If I really wasn't focusing on what I was doing on any particular moment, you would think that I was a drunk person because the slurred speech would be that bad. I go to the neurologist, they give me an MRI, they give me the spinal tap, it comes back, multiple sclerosis. Now that it's been 3 years since I've started and a little bit over a year since I've had my diagnosis reversed, I could tell you that in conventional medicine, their perspective of multiple sclerosis and holistic medicine will agree that the number one cause for it is inflammation. Conventional medicine does not say, well, the inflammation is caused by X, Y, and Z, and these are the things that you could do to either stop inflammation or reverse the inflammation. No, that's what holistic medicine does. Conventional medicine doesn't offer that approach at all. Instead, the primary approach is, well, here's the drugs to help make your life a little bit more comfortable, and you better prepare yourself and prepare your family to adapt to the inevitable handicap that you're going to eventually become. So you might as well start preparing yourself now, getting things ready, you know, go out and build the rail to your house, because eventually the wheelchair is coming. No one has ever been cured with any medication. No one has ever reversed anything with any medication for multiple sclerosis. The only reversal that I've seen with multiple sclerosis is through holistic, natural healing, where you eliminate what's causing the inflammation to occur in the first place. The hard work was the diet change, not taking in any more foods that produce inflammatory responses, getting ozone therapy, which is so important to reversing multiple sclerosis, because what causes inflammation in the body? You have heavy metals, you have viruses, you have bad bacteria, and the ozone just goes in and just sort of sifts you like you're sifting through gold, and all the impurities come up. Well, it's the same thing with the ozone therapy.
I hadn't had tonsillitis outbreak in 20 years, and then all of a sudden I began to have them very, very frequently. When I found out that it was actually a herpes virus, I had no idea that I even had herpes, and the medication didn't help. It would make me sicker. It would remove whatever the original symptom was, but then I would be tired, lethargic, couldn't function. My head wasn't clear, so I wasn't thinking clearly. Like I was on, because they put you on drugs, and it is like that feeling like you're on drugs, you can't think straight. That's when I began to do ozone therapy. And with ozone therapy, I've been doing it for a year now, I haven't had an outbreak at all. The virus people will never admit that they have viruses because they're embarrassed. Nobody wants to say I have herpes. I don't get the symptoms anymore. I get ozone at this point once a week. It's very, very helpful, in particular with herpes.
Okay, those are just a few of the many people that I found. We qualify them with their medical records that they had these conditions. And, for example, you were just listening to Kenny, and Kenny was talking about multiple sclerosis. He had advanced multiple sclerosis. Today, he's completely cured. You heard me right. We have his neurologist, his MRIs. No lesions, no demyelinization, nothing symptomatically can be found. He has full muscle coordination, full mental clarity. He couldn't even speak. You would think he was drunk when he first came because his speech was slurred. And so we've seen people's antigens with herpes, hepatitis go to zero. So those are some of the things, and then all the different doctors using it, the science behind it, the history of it, from beginning to end, everything you need on this absolutely miracle of a medical therapy is in this new documentary. And if you call our number, which is 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, today is the first time we're offering it as a special, normally $40, $20 to you. Howard, just a few thoughts, and Luann, follow up with a few thoughts so we can give people the final moment here on knowing about this before we go to our guest.
Okay, Gary. First, I just want to say I think this is the best thing to say to everybody. Unfortunately, everybody that's listening to this show, sometime in their life, either now or in the near future, is going to have someone they know and love become seriously ill, because that's what happens in this polluted world we're in. And they're going to try conventional medicine, and conventional pharmaceutical medicine is going to fail them because that's what it tends to do, or just procrastinate the symptoms until you become an invalid. This video is so important. This documentary is so important because it may be the only thing that will motivate their loved one, their family member or friend, to make them believe that there is something else out there that will work, even though it's not something they heard about before. They'll hear these people, all the different people and the doctors, talk about the benefits, the safety, and the results that they can achieve, and it may be the only thing that's going to save these people from a horrible future or even death. You need to get this documentary now, and you need to hold it and look at it and then hold it for someone you need, because they need to see this.
Good. Thank you, Howard. Give us your number if people want more information on ozone.
If you want more information, please call me at 212-581-0101. Leave your name and number twice so that we make sure we have it clearly. Speak slowly. Thank you.
Luann Panessi, final thoughts from you, please.
Well, Gary, quite simply, I mean, ozone is activated oxygen. And oxygen used to be way more plentiful on our planet than it is now. And because, do you know that if cells drop under 60% of oxygen in the body, the cell is more apt to change to a cancer cell? So when you think about it, if we oxygenate our body, first we always tell people to have a healthy foundation lifestyle. And then, if for your illnesses and imbalances, bring in your IV ozone. I've seen things like acne, chronic wounds that won't heal, skin ulcers, burns, people with macular degeneration, cancer, pulmonary diseases, heart disease, viruses. When you think about it, ozone, which is activated oxygen, it's bactericidal, virucidal, and fungicidal. How many people out there are suffering with candida, chronic viruses? I've seen hundreds of people reverse, cure chronic illness with IV ozone and hyperbaric oxygen therapy and other types of oxygen therapies like ozone.
Okay.
So,
Luann, we're out of time. Anyone would like to speak to you? Give your number, please.
I'm at 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. 15 years, Gary, I've been working with IV ozone, watching people get it from Howard and other people, and it's a joy as a nurse to watch people reversing chronic illnesses with just something as simple as medical oxygen.
Thank you. Final thought on this is that this is my brand new documentary, health documentary, on ozone, a medical miracle. You can call, and we'll be back in a moment with my guests. Please stay with us.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say, I love you, on that you can rely.
I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. My guest, Katrina Vandenhoevel, is the editor and publisher of The Nation magazine and a columnist for The Washington Post, focusing on American and international politics. a summa cum laude graduate from Princeton University. She's written extensively and published on the Soviet Union, civil liberties. She has done a lot of different political analysis, and she is also the author of important works, including The Change I Believe In, Fighting for Progress in the Age of Obama. Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you, Gary, for having me on your program.
There are many things that we can discuss, but if you would please, we are living today in a system that is hardwired to resist real transformation and live with a political atmosphere that is wrapped up with corporate power and influence. Therefore, true constructive change is fought, and it only occurs in one or two election cycles, no matter who's present. Could you go through this process and talk to us about the problem of exclusion of the most important issues of the day in the political debates? And since mainstream media ignores these and refuses to listen to the people's demands to debate these issues, and certainly excluding progressive minds from those debates, could you talk about your concern of not opening up our debating forums to have a greater variety and diversity of input?
Such an important question. A part of my work at The Nation and what this publication is about is opening up, challenging the limits of our dialogue and debate in this country, which is often, I would argue, suffocatingly narrow. I'm more hopeful, Gary, I have to say right at this moment, because I do think that the movement of Occupy Wall Street, broadly defined, which has stretched across this country and even globally, has opened space for issues such as inequality, such as holding bankers accountable for the economic mess they made, and holding up new ideas of justice and equity and a kind of new economy that has been off the radar for too long, so that suddenly a corporate media is paying attention to issues that have been excluded. We're not seeing that certainly in the Republican debates, but we are seeing it in a media that, as I said, for too long did a disservice to this country by arguing that, or portraying or reporting that there was only one movement, the Tea Party, when in fact there are many movements in this country, as you know, many movements and many coalitions and many good people in motion. So I'm more hopeful about where change may come from, because for me, you may have your number one issue. It may be ending poverty. It may be ending wars. But your second issue in many ways needs to be about building a more democratic and open and inclusive media, because that's where people learn about the issues that they then might move on or get involved with and understand that others also care about those issues and movements.
Could you speak to the issue of having forums that represent a greater diversity of ideas than the current historical left or right?
I think part of, again, maybe back to the media, what is hopeful in the new media, though I'm not an internet evangelist, and I still believe very much in offline, on the ground, in community conversations and dialogues, in labor halls, in churches, community centers, I do think there's the possibility of dialogue through the new media that opens up space. That is hopeful. It's not just mobilizing and organizing, but it's there to be tapped for intelligent debate. I think we need more the radio. We're talking now on your good radio program. Community radio has been empowered recently by some legislation opening up possibilities, and I think that's critical. And I think if we can use new channels available on the new media for people to have conversations and to do kinds of programming, for example, to ensure that poverty in this country is covered in ways it isn't in the mainstream media, that there you'd see more inclusion. I think that the ethnic media, I know this from New York City, where there are many newspapers, radio stations, broadcast outlets, is quite vibrant. And I think that one of the hopeful movements we saw a few years ago, the immigrants' rights movement, which is so needed now at all times, has powerful communication channels via radio, via texting. And we saw that when thousands of people came into the streets in California, particularly in Los Angeles a few years ago, to protest and seek redress for their grievances and rights.
I'm a believer that we will have our next major shift in social issues when we learn how to put our egos at the door and work cooperatively and collectively together, networking, collaborating, smart organizing,
uh-huh.
to become more effective in challenging, countering the status quo. What are your thoughts, please?
I think it's critical to challenge this kind of establishment consensus. Let me just take one area, if I could, Gary. I mean, the economy. I think we're at a turning point where we need to think hard about, as you said, sort of collaborative models of a new economy, a more humane economy that works for people and not just for those masters of the universe or for banks or for Wall Street. There's a lot of good thinking. We did an issue here at The Nation. Some of this is in my book, The Change I Believe In, on reimagining capitalism. Some will say you cannot reimagine capitalism. It has corrupted its core. But there are different kinds of capitalism, and I think we live right now with a crony capitalism in this country. But if we could find ways to collaborate on building a new kind of economy that was more just, more fair, more equitable, it would be make a huge difference in the way our society was organized. But I also think that too much of the establishment is invested in pitting people against each other. And yes, people have convictions, have strong views. I'm not a believer that all has to be kumbaya, I have to admit, but we do need spaces for civil and intelligent debate and dialogue. At The Nation, for example, we often have conversations with what might be called libertarians to talk about issues about how we end the kind of endless war apparatus, which is really corroding our democracy. And we come from different points. There may be differences in some values, but there's a commonality in how we might move forward, ending wars that are not making us more secure, that are maiming and killing so many here and around the world.
Well, I certainly appreciate the work that you do in The Nation. From the time I entered New York City as a teenager, and have been here ever since, it has been one of the most important reads for me because it's an absolute challenge to the status quo, and I'm looking forward to people purchasing The Change I Believe In, Fighting for Progress in the Age of Obama, your new book. And the website is woodprairie.com. Thank you very much, Katrina, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And I'm Gary Null. We're going to take your calls now for the remainder of our program. Sorry I didn't have a chance to get to it earlier, but now we will. Your ideas upon what you believe we should do to change the status quo of our system, the way any of our institutions are dealing with us, the people, the Patriot Act, the Homeland Security Act that should never have been enforced, the legislators didn't even read it, and who benefited from it. Let's talk about that. Our number is 888-874-4888. 874-4888. Back in a moment with your calls. Please stay with us. We're going to say hello to Bobby and then Jason and Myron in studio. Hi, Bobby from New Jersey. You're on the air.
Yes, Gary. Good afternoon. Gary, I want to say kudos to you and your program. I was listening to you yesterday, and then after the program, you had a program on the Green Front. And she had two scientists on there, and they were very, very good. The program was called Thrive, and I went to the website, exactly what you're talking about today, and if you get an opportunity to go back at some point when you're off the road and just look at that, it's a whole group. It's a guy from Procter & Gamble. His family was into development and so forth and so on. He took another route, and his message, like yours, was so inspiring. I was in one of your health groups. I'm diverting a little bit, and I met a doctor there. Her name was Val. and that was in 2004. We are still connected to this day. So I'm saying kudos to you and your program, and just, you know, keep it going, because I'm listening and I'm connecting these sources, and it's not as bleak as you know, we may think.
I don't think our future is bleak at all. In fact, I'm extremely optimistic for those individuals who choose to awaken from the stupor they've been in. And I'm going to do a commentary tomorrow about trauma and what trauma, emotional trauma, spiritual trauma, relationship trauma can do to a person to thwart their forward movement in life and their perspective. But for now, I'll simply say, think of all the positive things that we do each and every day, from the dietary choices, cleaning up our water supply, getting off the grid, stop shopping at a Walmart, stop eating fast foods. Every one of those things may seem of little consequence, but they are not. They're extremely important because they're meaning you're empowering yourself to make a better choice. I believe the next big movement will be a movement returning for many people to the land, individually, collectively, as groups, and starting to support a whole nother dynamic movement in their life. That means you have to say goodbye to one part of your life, a closure, learn its lessons, and enter a new one. Now, I see, as bad as things will be coming at us, that I always want to know the bad news, because then I can find solutions of how I don't become a victim of it. So I'm optimistic. And by the way, it was the Green Front with Betsy Rosenberg, and it's every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Jason and Myron, both from Progressive Radio Network, in studio now. Let's start with Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Gary. Good afternoon. I actually would like to just discuss with our fans about YouTube and how we've been having great videos up there and how people are going nonstop to it. Just recently, we had our vaccine testimonial go up to over 350,000 hits. If you go to YouTube and you look up Gary Null Television, you can see all our great videos that are leading the way in terms of the newest information, the best information, the most honest information. So you can go and check out all our different videos, because not only do they go there, we send them out to tons of different sites. And our vaccine video has been seen by over 500,000 people, going from our site to YouTube to other sites that we've sent it out to. So we just want people to keep going to see these videos, because they give more and more in depth about what we do here and what we're trying to give to the people out
there. Let me put a little slightly different perspective on that. Thank you.
Sure.
The reason that we take the time and effort to do this, to write the articles, to produce the hard-hitting documentaries, the self-empowerment documentaries, the health documentaries, and the YouTube documentaries, is because we believe that people are ready for change, and they simply need to be well-informed. They need good quality information, because they're going up against people who are not going to accept that information, the changes they want to make. So if you know that you have solid evidence that the vaccines you're taking, for example, I'm only using vaccines, are not proven safe or effective for a given individual, and here are the scientists and physicians and the studies proving that, then you don't have the same lack of confidence. You can make a change with some confidence that you're doing the right thing. The same thing is true on AIDS, or I commissioned Celia Farber to do a very in-depth, probably the most comprehensive in-depth current analysis of the war on AIDS, and the first of those articles will be appearing, I guess, this week, and then a whole show weekly of the AIDS dissenting scientists, Nobel Prize winners, great scientists around the world will be doing a weekly show on everything involving AIDS. Then you can have a perspective. If you come believing that the Orthodox is right and now you see it's not, it gives you perspective. So now is the time when as much as could be going wrong, as much corruption and difference and greed, that's exactly how much humanitarian work, giving compassion and factual information, we can give as tools for positive social change. You had take two people, one changing out of impulse and some triggering mechanism in their subconscious, and another one changing after they've read, watched, listened, challenged, questioned, and come to a state of mind of confidence. One will stay the course, the other will not. That's what we're doing all this for. Myron, over to you.
Hi there, Gary. Yeah, I just wanted to jump in and tell you about how our results, the results that we're getting on the web. If you go to Google and search, basically we're the top result. That means that all the search engines are seeing that we have the most meaningful and the most powerful and engaging content regarding progressive minds, independent minds are looking for. So they're serving that up in first place, second place, third place, you'll see Progressive Radio is up there, and that just means that we don't send out any bad content, any spam, nothing like that, because that'll all count against you. It's all meaningful, it's all there, truthful, accurate, 100%. So it's basically an organic grassroots result. We don't pay for this kind of a placement. We don't take any ads out on Google or Bing or any of the other search engines. So this is all just word of mouth, people spreading the content. It's really catching on like wildfire, and it's pretty exciting.
Well, today, for example, listen carefully to the figures, everyone in this audience. Google Progressive Radio, two words, Progressive Radio, 230 million hits. 230 million. Number one, Progressive Radio Network. Now, it goes clear down to progressive music and everything else, but that's way down, which means that we're getting the vast majority of hits because we're number one. Liberal Radio, 59 million hits. Progressive Radio Network, number one. So when you look at what people are looking for, they're looking for information that empowers them. Look at just some of our programs on Progressive Radio Network. The Lifeboat Hour with Michael Rupert, Explorations with Dr. Michio Kaku, Black Agenda Radio with Glenn Ford, in my opinion, one of the single strongest, most intelligent voices in media ever. Wake Up Call, Richard Martin, Steve Ledman Show, The News Dissector, Danny Schechter, Expanding Minds, Eric Davis, Of Consuming Interest, Jim Turner, The Expat Files, Jim Mueller, Freedom News Hour, Walt Thiessen, and Jake Town, and Gene DiNardo, The Peter Bregan Hour, Love, Lust, and Laughter with Diane Wiley, The Turning Point with Mike Fader, very popular show, Political Analysis with Sandy Leon Vest, and What Women Must Know, Dr. Sheryl Selman, and Portside with Burt Cohen, Eat Green with Jarvov, and The Truth and Freedom with Bruce and Marianne Curtis, very powerful, The Natural Nurse with Dr. Z and Ellen Kumi, and A Better World with Mitchell Rabin, and Pure Imagination with Rachel Trachtenberg and Julia Cumming, and Connect the Dots with Allison Rose Levy, and Community Currency with Carol Brulette. These are just some of the many programs. So we are collecting people who put them in on the air and giving them a form, and our only criteria is make sure that your hour empowers people, that when you're finished, that they feel that they have new insights and information that can help them go forward. That's what we're about.
That's right, Gary. And I just wanted to jump in and say that Mike Fader, they'll be able to hear him next. He's got his own show coming up. He's right here in studio. I'm taking a look at him. He's smiling at me. And also that we have content not just for liberal minds, not just for green, not just for constitutionalists, but we have the Freedom News Hour, which is a great show for libertarians. They're all three of them have a libertarian spin on the news of the week. So
and conservative and progressive conservative views.
7 p.m. tonight.
I mean, on economically, when it comes to personal finance, I'm very conservative on my views. I came from a background where you didn't create debt. You looked at what you bought. You ask yourself a basic question. Do you need this in your life? Will this allow you to live a better life? If not, why buy it? So I believe that we should respect many different points of view, and that's why we have so many different people coming from so many different backgrounds, because we do not exclude people. We do not exclude by race, by religious belief, by body politic. If you want to be empowered, we have a forum for you. And you hear voices, for example, on some of the other shows, you see the same faces constantly. And we don't believe that that's constructive. We want to hear different views. There are too many thousands, tens of thousands of people who've done good work that should be given a forum and have a chance to share it. That's why we're always looking for new voices to put up. So thank you all very much for listening, for sharing, and for today having Progressive Radio reach a milestone. 230 million hits this morning. You heard me right, 230 million hits. Unheard of. And if you want to get an idea, compare that with Pacifica or WPI. Then again, don't get depressed. So you either get ahead of the curve or you think it's 1975 and try to reenact it. It isn't 75. We got to get ahead of this curve. Have a nice day, everyone, and stay tuned for Mike Fader.
It's a most unusual day. Feel like throwing my worries away. As an
The Gary Null Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride. And the program director is Jason Tablenfeld.